That this is exciting today, and I'm glad you can hear me. Last week we had problems, or 2 weeks ago. Last week was Pastor Mohan. He was good. It was good, wasn't it? I thought that it was a very powerful thing that he brought us, and it was a big day. And so I'm glad you're here today. I think it's very important that you're here. I believe Jesus is moving. Like powerfully, not just here, all around. And Wednesday night at family night, if we're here this Wednesday, if not, we'll do it next Wednesday. Another church in town, I meet with like 10 or 12 pastors. We've been meeting for years. And one of the pastors that I meet with is the pastor at New Life Church over, you know, down on 89, James Bennett. And his church, every week they pray for one of the churches that we meet with. And so that means they pray for us every 2 or 3 months. And last Sunday they prayed for Grace Fellowship. Can y'all believe that? They blessed us. And that's a different thing if you've been in around religion very long. They really are for us. And then after they prayed for us, one of Josh Carillon's friends who goes to church there, he heard the Lord, and we're going to have to thank him profusely. You know, with everything that's happened, we've had financial problems and all kinds of stuff, but he has a landscaping lawn care business, and he volunteered to do our lawn care for a year with no cost. I was like, get out of here. So isn't that a blessing? So next, if we're here this Wednesday, we're going to make a video telling New Life, thank you for praying for us. And the prayer turned into action, you know. And that's what happens with prayer. Prayer turns into action. And we're going to see that happening more and more. So I want to, I worked really hard on my presentation that we're not going to see this morning. Which if I could hear God, I wouldn't have done that, would I? I'd have known better. And you know what's funny? I guess I didn't listen to the Lord. I don't guess this has ever happened to me. Just a few minutes before I was supposed to come out here, I looked at my computer and I'm like, I didn't make my presentation. I hadn't put it together. And I'm like, and so I went back in my office. I'm like, real fast trying to make it. I finally got it made about 10 minutes after what I would like to be done with it. And then I come out here and the bulbs burned out in the projector. Like, Jesus, I should have listened to you. I wouldn't have wasted that typing time. So I have a really good presentation. Listen, I want to ask you a couple questions. Today I'm going to have a few questions, okay, that you guys have got to answer in your heart, out loud. I don't care how you want to do it. Here's one of the questions. Is it possible to overemphasize Jesus? Is that possible? Is it possible to overemphasize the impact that Jesus has made on our lives and the world? Is it possible to give him too much credit, too much recognition, too much glory? Is it possible to think too much about him? It's funny, what we were praying about, and today even, listen, he's the God of the impossible. And you know, is it possible, is it even remotely possible to adore and trust him more than he deserves? No. We'd all say, that's just insane. You cannot give Jesus more credit, more honor, more glory, more recognition, more face time than he ever deserves. Nobody can overstep how good he is. None of us can overstep how much we trust him. It's impossible. He's way beyond that. And I love this verse, John 10:10. If you have your phone or your Bible or your computer, or if you have it memorized, it's good. John 10:10, Jesus said this, red letters, right? Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then he made this statement that should shake up our world. I have come. Jesus, you sound like you're claiming to be God or something. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came so that we could have life more abundantly, more joy, more happiness, more prosperity, more everything in our life. And he's the one who said it. And it's like, and you know what? That statement there, he said, they may have. This is a little school deal here. That's in the present tense in the Greek. And here, and I write this down because I always have a hard time saying it. The present tense, the verb in the present tense, that they may have, the way Jesus said it, here's what that means. It's the tense where the writer portrays an action in process. Like, present tense means the abundantly started the day he said it. Like, it's in process. It started then, and this is what's really cool about the present tense, with no assessment of the action's completion. He wants us to have abundant life, and he's provided it, and he said it, and it's going to continue with no expiration date. Like, you can claim that promise for your life every day from now till Jesus comes back, because he said it, and he said it in the present tense. Now, the second thing he said there is that I think that we have a hard time understanding this, that more abundantly. What does more abundantly mean? And so I looked those words up, and it means extraordinary, like greater than anything you could ever see, unusual, strange, overflowing, superfluous. It's like more, superabundant, super everything, noteworthy. It's everything you could think of. How much life does he want you to have? More than you can dream or think of. That's what the Bible says in another place. More than you can imagine or think. Now, we're going to have to look at something, because abundant life that he's talking about is based on grace, and it has its source, the source of the power to give you more than you ever need or deserve or want, more. The source of that is grace, and his name is Jesus. Like, you can't overthink what he wants to give you. It's more than you can think. It's more than you can ever do. And so I look at that, and abundant life is based on grace, and it has as its source the tree of life, or Jesus himself, is where this life comes from. It's from him. Now, religion, I hate to even mention the word, but we need to look at this because it's so impactful in our world today. I think in our world, sometimes we think religion has a greater impact than Jesus. No, Jesus is over, above, and beyond religion. But religion is based on performance. Do you deserve it? You have to earn it? You have to work for it? Religion is based on performance and punishment. Like, that's what the spirit of religion is based on. It says, I've got to do this to deserve this. I have to do this to make it happen. I have to. I should. I can't. And religion is also based on punishment. It's like, if you mess up, that hammer is coming down. And that's what religion is. And it's not based on the tree of life. The tree of life is where grace is from. And it's, you can't work for it, you can't earn it. It's a free gift given by Jesus Christ to us. But religion isn't like that. Religion is based on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know, that the word evil, the original language is poneros. And poneros has an interesting meaning. It means full of hardships, annoyances, and labor. You know what religion does? You work yourself to death trying to do it. Like, it's based on your sweat, your blood. It's not a gift. It's not free. You have to earn who you are. You have to earn God's attention. You have to earn his blessings. You have to earn everything. And then it's bad enough you've got to earn everything. You also get punished for what you don't do. So even if you don't do something, God's punishment comes on you because this and this and this and this. That's what religion is. But grace is a free gift. It's by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. It doesn't matter if you're Mr. Atlas. You can't move the world in your own strength. I just thought Atlas because Atlas walked out. He got carried out. It's true. That picture of Atlas carrying the world. Remember when we prayed for Atlas for his prophetic to dedicate him? He's not going to carry the world in his own strength. It's going to be grace. It's going to be effortless. Grace is effortless. Religion is works and sweats. And and that's what evil is. That's the word evil. It's about working hard, toiling and laboring as a slave who works and works and works and works and never receives any of the benefit of what their labor does. That's religion. And guys, we live in this mixture in our world. All of us do. All of us live there where sometimes we're just all stressed out and it's just a burden. It's a burden. Grace is never a burden. It's a gift. And so I just want to, religion, have you ever noticed this about religion? Religion puts everything, all the gifts and the goodness of God off in the future somewhere. It's sort of like, you don't really know when it's going to happen. It's out there. It's like in the sweet by and by. That's what religion does. Grace is present tense that has already begun and is going to continue without an end in sight. What do you mean? Yeah, God's goodness gets better. And it builds and it keeps building. And there's no stop to it. And it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And it's like that's how Jesus operates. And that's what grace does. Remember Paul when he described, I read it the last time I preached a couple weeks ago. I read about, Paul met Jesus, right? Remember when he was going to persecute some Christians and put them in jail and prison and all that stuff, and he got knocked off his high horse? Like he met Jesus face to face. He met grace. And Paul described his life before he met Jesus. He did, and I read you that passage out of Romans 7. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Listen, we all do this because we're all still in process, but it's like this is what happens. When you say, when I hear these words, this is what I think. When I hear somebody say, he made me mad, or she made me mad, or they made me something else, I'm like, oh, you're still living in that place Paul was talking about. You're still living there. It's like where you're not mad. You don't want to be mad, but something made you mad. You don't want to be sad. You don't want to be depressed. You don't want to be angry or selfish or bitter. You don't want to be a jerk. You don't want to cuss like a sailor. I mean, it's funny to me, people, because I'm a preacher, it's funny. I worked in a business world and I played sports throughout high school and college where cussing was the language, right? And so my ears are very used to cussing. But people still slip up and they'll cuss around me. I just sort of laugh. I'm like, I've heard that word before. I watch movies. I know children that are in elementary school. I know that word. It's like what happens, right? So I want to talk about today is that deal where Paul said, before I knew Jesus, before I met him face to face, I hated what I was doing. Hated it and didn't want to do it. But I couldn't stop. They made me mad. I couldn't stop the depression. I couldn't stop the anger. I couldn't stop the apathy. I couldn't stop it. Or even worse, the things you want to do. I'm committed. I mean, gosh, I really, I thought about this because I've been in that world so long. You know, Alan Alford owns the smoke shop up there on the corner. I'm Alan Alford. He even spells his name the same way I do. I'm like, and I know him. He's a nice guy. and his wife's name's Jeannie too. It's like, you talk about confusing. In Cabot, there's two Alan Alfords and two Jeannie Alfords. And we have businesses 100 yards apart. You know, I have a church. He has a smoke shop. I'm poor. He's rich. It's okay. He's a nice guy. He has a good family and he works hard. You know, but the truth is, I thought about investing in cigarettes because once they got you, you can raise the price however much you want to. If you're addicted to them, you don't have any choice. You're like what Paul said. Read Romans 7. It's there. Guys, I don't want you to be made to do anything. Jesus came and he gave us life and life more abundant. That means we can be set free from every addiction, every mental health disorder, everything in our life that we hate, Jesus can set us free from. Now, that's the truth. That is the flat out truth. Now, we're in process. We're in process. So we're all still on that journey. But I know that Jesus has already done it, and it's getting better. So where you are right now, you don't have to be in that same spot in 5 years. Doesn't matter where you are. You don't have to be in that same place in 10 years. Yeah, but I've always been grumpy and selfish, and I've always been this way. I understand. But Jesus has given you an amazing gift. It's called grace. And he can set us free from those things. And so I want to talk about that today. You see, religion would put that off to the future. Well, when I get to heaven, I'll be free then. That's religion talk. That's not Jesus talk. It's logical. It's from the world. It's from judgments, and it's from what you believe. Listen, there are two types of people. One type of people understands their true identity by faith, who they really are. When that happens to you, that's like when Paul met Jesus that day. He hated Jesus. He hated Christianity. But then he met this guy named Jesus face to face on that road. And he saw him. And all of a sudden, Paul saw things differently. And he fell in love with the very one he hated. So the murderer, the home destroyer, the oppressor of the church, in a moment, his heart changed. You see, that's what we need. It's like Jesus told Paul, Paul, this isn't who you are. This isn't who you are. I came to set you free from that bondage. This is who you are, Paul. And that day, Paul said, you know what, Jesus, I believe you. And everything changed for that man. And so there's one type of person, and this you can tell where you're at in this because you can look at the fruit in your life. You can look and say, are there things in your life that you need, that you believe you want to change? Are there blessings that aren't coming that you know you're supposed to have? Guess how we receive grace? By faith. It's believing. Do you believe who Jesus says you are? So the other kind of person seeks to identify himself by his performance, by obeying the law, by the way it looks. He actually identifies himself. You can either be performance-based in your life, which is religion, or you can live by grace, by faith. And you're going to have faith in one or the other. And one brings you the life of God and the power of God into your life and transforms you and everybody around you. Living by performance and by law puts you in bondage you can read Galatians, it puts you in bondage to demons. And, you know, so it's always been that battle in humanity, performance by law, by works, or living by grace, by faith. And that battle goes on every day in our world, and it fights that logical thing inside of us who wants to work and believes we have to earn it. Listen, no one will ever be justified before God by works, by living from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. No one will ever be justified by God. No one will ever be made holy by works. It's only through grace by faith in Jesus. And it's your faith is in Jesus and what he did. I think most of us put our faith in what we do instead of what he did. And the tree of life is really our tree, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I love that verse. But what we have to do is, how come it's not true for me? Like, that's the question, right? Why isn't this true for me? I understand this verse that Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Why don't I have it? Like, if that's true, the religion says you got to put that off to the future. Jesus says you have it now, 2,000 years ago, and you still have it today. But if I'm not experiencing that, then there's a reason. And last time I spoke, and it's funny, I talked about communication, and then our mic system, our thing, you know, wasn't working. We didn't record the service. You know what's crazy? So I'm going to call this today, because this is all about belief. You know, what you believe determines what's coming out of your life, not your actions. What you believe determines your actions. And we get that backwards. We just get it backwards. No, what you believe determines, what's in your heart will determine what comes out on in your actions, in your words, in your mind, in every way. It's what you believe is what matters. And we've got it twisted, and we think of the law says, behave this way, do this, and do this, and then you'll be, that's law. That's religion. That's how religion survives, is by either one, promising you good things if you do this, or promising you bad things, punishment if you don't do this. That's not Jesus. Jesus had this crazy idea. He said, I'm going to come to earth. Let me think. Him and his Father, you know, Father, Holy Spirit, they're in heaven, they're thinking, right? They want to be one with you. That's all they want. That's all God wants. He just wants to be with you. He wants to be in relationship with you, one. He wants to be one with you. So they have this idea. They're like, okay, Jesus, you're going to be born a human baby, and you're going to live on earth, and you're going to live perfectly in harmony with me that whole time, and you're going to grow, and you're going to go through the same process that humans go through, and then you're going to lay down your life after you've lived a perfect life and you've obeyed all the law. You're going to lay down your life so that they can be holy. They can be sanctified. They can be righteous. And now we can be one with them. And Jesus is like, great idea, Father. I'm going to die. They're going to crucify me. They're going to put nails through my hands and my feet and tear my skin off my body with those whips. And yeah, you see, Jesus did that for you. He did that. He did that. And the thing is, what stops us from experiencing what he did? Two things I wrote down. This is what I think. This is like a lifetime Bible verse for me, Romans 1:16 and 17, written by Paul, right? Here's what Romans 1:16 says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power, the dynamite power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Now, that word salvation in the Hebrew mind, in the Greek mind, that is saving from everything, for everything. Salvation is everything you've ever needed, everything you've ever wanted. It's protection. It's everything. That's what salvation is to them. And you know, Jesus' name is salvation, Yeshua. His literal name is salvation. And Paul said this, it brings salvation to everyone who believes. So what's going to determine the power of God working in your personal life, in your family's life? Well, they've got to act right, and they've got to tithe, and they've got to do everything good, and they've got to... That isn't what Paul said. Salvation is for everyone who believes. Well, what do you want me to believe? Well, that's the gospel. Do you believe in what Jesus did for you? Do you believe he was the Son of God, that he came and he lived perfect and he laid down his life for you? Do you believe that? Well, then we know when we believe that, here's the trick. The enemy twists this thing. I'm sorry, he does. We believe that, and then we believe, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. One day I'm going to heaven. Shoot, some of you just keep living. You're not. You may never get there. You live so long. But I'm just talking about Harvey. No. Heaven is the end place. Salvation affects us the whole time. So what determines God's life being released inside of your life is your belief. Do you believe in what Jesus did? When you study Scripture, do you believe what he did? And, you know, it's like this. So believing is what releases the power of God in our life. Do you believe he saved you? Do you believe he sanctified you, that he made you holy? Do you believe that you're seated with him in heaven? Do you believe that you're a son of God just as much as Jesus? Do you believe that the same life, the same spirit that lives inside of Jesus lives inside of you? Jesus said it does. Do you believe that God loves you? And like Katie was saying, that he's going to take care of your needs, that he's going to provide for you, that he's going to provide for your family. Do you believe that? When you believe that, it releases his life in you to experience it now. You don't have to wait till you're perfect or you're in heaven, because your perfection has nothing to do with what he did. Your perfection depends upon believing what he did. And then you live this process that God wants us to live and walk through on this life. So believing a lie, there's two things that stops the power of God in your life and my life. One thing is when we don't believe the truth. That would what we would usually call, that's when I got saved. I decided to believe the truth and I trust Jesus and what he did. Yeah, that's such a limiting thing, the way to think of it. It's everything. Everything in your life is dependent upon what you believe. The grace of God released in my life is dependent upon what I believe. So you can't believe the truth. It's just like why you're here, why people, that's why you invite people so they can be exposed to the truth. You bring your family, you bring your friends. It's what Tyler was saying about his boys. I want my boys in that class because in that class, they learn about who they are and what Jesus did for them and what Jesus has created inside of them. They learn that and it transforms their lives. So it's like people need to hear. You know, you can't believe until you hear. You can't believe until you're exposed to the truth. And then when you're exposed, you can choose to believe then. So it's very important that we invite unbelievers. But you know what? Most of our unbelievers in our world, they're not unbelievers in God. They're unbelievers in what Jesus did for them. They don't believe they're good. They don't believe that they're created in God's image. They don't believe that God knit them together and made them perfect for who they are. They don't believe that. Most of our society doesn't believe that. Look, you know, the mental health crises in our elementary schools is crazy. It's because those children don't know who they are. Somebody's got to tell them. And then you can choose to believe the truth when you tell. So it's very important that we invite people to be exposed to the truth about who they are. It's not just Jesus died so you don't go to hell and you get to go to heaven. It's Jesus died so he could perfect you. He could make you holy. His spirit could live inside of you. That you know God pays as much attention to you as he paid to his own son. Like when you were born, I mean, you know, we have the record of what happened when Jesus was born, right? They threw a big party. Gabriel, the angel showed up. The wise men came. It was like the light shone star above the deal. Do you know that when you were born, God was just as excited about your birth as he was about his own son? Because he's adopted you. You're his son. You're his daughter. And he formed you in your mother's womb. He did it. He made me with bad eyes. Now, why would God do that? I don't know, but he loves my bad eyes. You know, I can take my glasses off, and y'all don't look so bad. It's like, dang, I don't see a wrinkle in the house. It's like, actually, you look like stick people or something. I don't know, but you see, God cares. He loved you. And if you believe that, it'll release the power of God in your life to make you beautiful, to make you successful, you know, abundantly, to make you happy, not afraid of the future. Like he's got a hand-picked spouse for you. And he is on target, dude. He is on target. He's watching you like an eagle, but it's not to slap you down. He's watching you so he can pour out his blessings on you. So that's my little girl. That's my son. Watch him. Watch this. The devil's like, I'm going to destroy him. God said, whatever. You know, I told you that one time I was worried about the devil coming in my house, right? Because I was casting demons out of people in my house. And I can't remember, Daniel and Matthew are on the other side of the sheetrock wall where I'm casting demons out of this guy. And I had heard, because we promote the devil as more powerful than God a lot in the way we think. So I'd heard that if you cast demons out in your house, those demons can get on you and get on and mess with your stuff. And you don't want to do that. And, you know, and I'd heard people talk about that, experienced people. And I'm like, well, yeah, maybe that's true. I don't know. Well, I'm sitting in my office casting this demon out of this guy, and I'm talking to the demon, actually. The demon was manifesting, and I had to make it shut up because it kept cussing all the time. It's irritating me. So I made it shut up. I told y'all this. It's so funny because to me this is funny. But I'm sitting there. Now I'm thinking, I think Matthew is like within arm's reach of this guy who's a demon is speaking through his voice, you know? And I'm like, now that's a sheetrock wall. I built it. I'm thinking a demon could just reach his hand across there and get Matthew, you know? And I'm like, God, I don't think I like this. I think I'm going to not do this anymore. I'm not going to cast demons out of my house anymore. I'm thinking that, like, you know, you'd think that. You probably would not be in the room. You'd have ran already. But I'm not running, but I'm like, I don't think this is good. And then the Holy Spirit, actually the Father, said to me, he interrupted me. He said, oh, really? And I'm like, oh, no. I knew I had said something he didn't agree with. Like, okay, what? He said, if Satan himself could, you would all be dead already. Amen. I was like, yeah. Dang, then what am I worried about? You mean God, you're in charge? Do you know God loves you that much that he's watching you all the time, but it's not to put you down, it's to lift you up. The only reason we are all here is because Jesus himself has protected us and given us blessings. And I mean, gosh, we have, you know what I mean? We have so many blessings we can't even count. So guys, we've got to realize something. If you're not believing the truth, or if you're believing a lie, it affects your life. And what determines the blessings of God in our life is what we believe. And we've made it okay to believe lies. I went into detail about that lie that I'd believed for years and years and years. And it had affected me. It affected you guys too. It affected my family. I believed a lie that I'm a bad communicator, right? I said that. And of course, it's funny that the only recording of that didn't get recorded because our thing was broken. It's never broken in 20 years. It's never broken before it broke. And I'm like, isn't that interesting? I'm trying to communicate, and the microphone didn't work, and the recorder quit, and just a mess, right? Well, you know what? God doesn't care. And you know what's really interesting to me is after I preached that, which to me it was just I preached. I do it all the time. Done it for 40 years. After I preached that, several of you came up to me at different times during the week And you're like, that's the best sermon you've ever preached. I'm like, really? I didn't think so. But you know what had changed? I didn't believe that lie anymore. Like, that lie I believed made me misunderstand people without, on purpose. I mean, literally, it allowed a demonic spirit to interfere in my life in that area of communication. And so I was deceived. I believed things that I saw and I heard that God didn't agree with. And other people were deceived. I would say this is blue and they would hear me say it's white. And I would sit back and I know I said blue, but you say I said white and I trust you, so I must have said white, but I don't know. But you know what happened? And then not only was that demon released in my life, it also stopped the power of God from coming through me. When you believe lies, it cuts off the grace of God in your life. So guess what? I was a way better preacher 2 weeks ago than I'd ever been in 40 years. Just because God showed me a lie, I chose to believe Him. Guys, you need to not be satisfied with where you are. Jesus promised you abundant life. If there's anywhere in my life where it's not abundant, I'm going to stand back and say, okay, God, I've got a problem. Either one, I'm believing a lie, or two, I just don't know the truth. But it's one of those. And God will set you free. I think in our world, we've gotten so indoctrinated by science that we believe science above Jesus Christ. Jesus said you can have abundant life. Who you going to believe? I choose to believe in Him. I choose to believe in Him. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. He's already given you so much we can't even, you could never thank Him enough. And He has more that He wants to give you. So I'm excited. I made it halfway through the sermon. Y'all didn't get to see, but I'm excited about what God's doing. Do you believe Him? Do you believe Him? If you do, you win. If you do, it's going to release the grace of God in your life. You know what? I don't know if this is the second best sermon I ever preached. I really don't care. It doesn't matter to me because it's all up to Him. Your life is determined by Jesus Christ. Your blessings, what's happening in you is determined by the Lord Jesus Christ. God's winning this battle. He's seated on a throne in heaven. And He said, you're seated there with Him. Well, I'm not experiencing that. Well, it's because you don't believe. Either you haven't heard it, or you've got some logic and reasoning that's having you believe lies. But guys, don't be settled. Don't settle for lies. Don't settle for that. With Him, life with Him is so much better. Amen. You guys have done good. Y'all put up with me today, and the worship team really did great, considering they knew there weren't any words, so they were like, they printed out those papers for us that we could do old school worship, and God was here today. You're here today. It's a reason you're here. God wants to do something in your life, so let's all stand up, and we are going to have a ministry teams. We do have. Because I think there's sometimes we need somebody to pray with us, you know. Sometimes you need someone to help you. And we've already had people pray today. God's already been moving. But if you're here this morning and you would like somebody to pray with you, maybe you're struggling with a lie that you believe. Jesus doesn't agree with you. Maybe you think you're not good enough. Maybe you think you're a failure. Maybe you think you've done too much. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Why don't you get set free from that this morning? Hear what Jesus has to say. So Jesus, I just ask that you would. Every one of us in here are susceptible to these lies. God, we all struggle with that. But this morning, I believe the Lord has someone on his heart that's either listening, going to listen to this online or here right now. And Jesus is wanting to help you. He's wanting to set you free from the bondage, from that lie, from that voice that just won't go away. That's always accusing you. He's wanting you to be free. I think he wants somebody to be free from trying to work and earn everything. He's wanting you to be able to rest and just be a child in your dad's arms. So Jesus, I just ask you would speak to each one of us this morning how we should respond to your word this morning. Who you say we are. So Jesus, would you just begin to pull on our hearts? God, would you just draw us to you? So if you would like, be willing for somebody to pray with you this morning, we have two teams up here, and they would love to help you and pray with you and for you, okay? Thank you for being here today. Be careful in the weather that's coming up. It's going to be chilly. All right? God bless you guys.
Let me make your coffee.